The first time I ever really took an interest in listening to the radio was during my first summer job, working the dish room in the girls' cafeteria at Interlaken's National Music Camp. It was strictly a peer pressure thing. I never really found popular music that enticing, but the radio was on all the time and all my friends listened, so I listened too. Each weekend, while slogging through the endless Sunday brunch, we'd listen faithfully to Casey Kasem count down in the American Top 40. Most of the music on the show was typically terrible. Rick Springfield, Kim Carnes, and the Oak Ridge Boys were making big runs at the time. But I was thrilled to discover a few songs that were seemingly too far outside the pop formula to make it into such hallowed ground. They were quirky, they relied heavily on synthesizers, and, in retrospect, they were the harbingers of the new wave movement that would mark the one time in my life when what I liked was popular, and vice versa. One of those delicious oddities was Lips Inc.'s only hit, the joyful, infectious Funky Town. Blondie was also wandering around the charts at the time with the nearly instrumental Atomic. But the song on the charts at that time that made me the most excited was Gary Numan's Cars.
Safest of all, I can lock all my doors. It's the only way.
Here was somebody who had completely forsaken the traditional centerpiece of popular music, the electric guitar, and had instead embraced the cold, clean world of synthesizers. And he made no attempt to make the synthesizers sound like anything other than fiercely artificial electronic tone generators and manipulators. The sounds were raw and harsh, the tune simplistic enough to sound like maybe it had been written by a machine, and the lyrics embraced alienation and isolation, wishing for a world in which the singer never had to leave the comfort and security of his car. And on top of all that, Gary Numan had somebody who actually played the viola in his band. The viola, the stringed albatross that hung around my neck, dooming me forever to thanklessly prop up the flashy violins or romantic cello, had actually shown up in a new wave band. I was hooked. My friends thought I was nuts as they breathlessly awaited the next playing of Betty Davis Eyes, but I could see a new day dawning, and I couldn't wait.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold, she's got Betty Davis Eyes, she'll turn her music on you.
My two musical worlds were about to coalesce into one. Up until that point, I listened mostly to pure synthesizer music by such groundbreakers as Synergy, Tangerine Dream, Vangelis, Jean-Michel Jarre, and Tomita, representing the United States, Germany, Greece, France, and Japan, respectively. Most of this music was large and lush and almost symphonic in scope, and downplayed the rhythmic elements to focus more on texture and timbre and the spacey sonics for which synthesizers were so well suited. On the other hand, I also really appreciated the driving beat of rock songs, even though I wasn't a big guitar hero and couldn't really connect with the larger-than-life personas of rock stars. Gary Numan and Lip Sync and other groups that were starting to rumble around that time showed that the hot energy of rock could be combined with the cool textures of synthesizers to a wonderful and surprisingly popular effect. I was ecstatic. It has long been a curiosity of sorts that many British bands speak with heavy accents, but sing without them. The Beatles, for example, lose almost all of their Liverpudlian linguistics when they sing. Gary Numan, as I discovered when I bought The Pleasure Principle, did not. For whatever reason, he still sounds fiercely British when he sings, and it just helps add another layer of oddness to his songs, especially considering how poorly he sings. The Pleasure Principle, Gary's third album and the one which spawned Cars, is not a great record. It's sort of a one-note affair, but if you like that note, as I certainly did, then the album is a wonderful island on a sea of poopy pop pap. The fact of the matter is, it's very easy and popular to make fun of Gary Numan, but he turned out some wonderful and surprisingly diverse music during his seemingly endless career. Sure, he'd come out with a new version of Cars every few years, gussied up in the clothes of the moment, hoping to strike gold again, and that's reason enough to make fun of him. But he was much more than a soulless machine licker. Each album has its sound, and each sound was different, but most people only heard Cars and just assumed that all of his stuff sounded like that. While he did tend to stick to synthesizers, and embarrassingly bad lyrics, he did release a now obscure record called Dance that was so mellow and ambient and undanceable. And which featured the trademark liquid fretless bass of Mick Karn, that it made my short list of best music to make out to. I'd usually put this on after Tina got tired of Roxy music. After that summer in the dish room, I moved into the dorm at Interlaken, and I brought my love of Gary Numan with me. By then, I had branched out a bit and bought Replicas, the album which preceded The Pleasure Principle. I was surprised to find Gary's sonic palette a little richer on this album than on subsequent ones. He even makes frequent use of electric guitar, as can be heard on You Are In My Vision. Although, to his credit, it does sound like the guitar was played by a robot, and a particularly soulless one at that. The song is nothing spectacular, terrible lyrics badly sung to an irritatingly simplistic arrangement, and it does contain one of the worst meter fudges I've heard a singer make. Partway through, Gary sings, "Far too many people for a quiet night with myself. Oh, I could be anyone tonight." The meter and rhythm of the song favor him accenting myself instead of myself, but it's a pretty minor thing. Far worse is the way he ends up singing, "I could be anyone tonight." It's so forced and disorienting that for a long time, I thought he was singing, "I could be a knee one tonight." I figured it was some kind of obscure British slang. "Oi, he's a real knee one, eh, governor?" Or just another one of Gary's awkward images. Remember, I was vapor, my mirrors tarnished with no help, weird dreams in cold storage, take your pick, until I realized it was just heroically bad phrasing. The real reason You Are In My Vision has risen to the top of my Gary Numan pond is because one day I was hanging out in the dorm with Eric and Alan while the record played. The chorus came around, and instead of hearing, "You are in my vision, I can't feel my face," one of them thought he'd said, "You are in my vision, you Godzilla face." We immediately took off from there and changed the lyrics in the chorus to the most disgusting substitutes we could think of, which in our case ended up being, "You are in my vision, you Godzilla face. You are in my vision, you anal slime. You are in my vision, you buttfuck breath." And that is how I hear the song every time I play it, which, admittedly, is not that often. Years later, I found the Ultimate Greatest Hits package, which, surprisingly, fills out two entire CDs. While by no means essential listening for the layman, cars will do for most, it does have some interesting oddities. I was disappointed to see that he had included nothing from the Dance album, not even the glorious but somewhat overinflated Slow Car to China, but delighted to find a hidden bonus track of a frilly solo piano version of his classic Down in the Park track. There's also what has to be the worst version of On Broadway ever recorded by anybody anywhere. In fact, it may be the worst cover version of anything ever. They say there's a